Give the Lord praise this morning. And all will see how great our God is, according to the Word of God, when they see our good deeds and they glorify Him before men. Amen. When they see our good deeds, the things that come out of our lives, and they say, what an awesome God these people serve. I'm a little interested in this, to see what kind of a God has this power. Don't ever forget, it's not just what comes off your lips, it's what comes out of your life. Amen? I pray that God's glory would be seen through each of us as we live our lives daily. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Just to prepare you, those of you who don't like a lot of Scripture in a sermon, I don't understand you, but there's going to be a lot of Scripture in the sermon just like usual. And Jesus Himself is actually going to give us our illustrations for today. He's going to actually talk to us about life, teach us some things, but we're going to see His heart today. We're going to see the heart of Christ. We're going to look at Luke chapter 6. We're going to break this passage down, and we're going to use it mainly as a springboard to throw us to the statements that we're going to observe together today. We're going to get a glimpse into Jesus' heart. When we see this, I want you to understand that you're seeing the example of your new heart. You're seeing the example of what a redeemed person should look like. And we're going to see this example not when everything was going right in Jesus' life. We're going to look at the seven statements that Jesus made while He was in agony on the cross. Because isn't it true, if we all were to get honest today, we are what we are when we get shaken up. You shake something up, you find out real quickly what's inside. Let me say this, we're all works in progress. But I know this, if we're walking in the Spirit and we're shaken, we walk with confidence in the Lord and not confidence in our flesh. Therefore, we don't react in our flesh. So Jesus is going to teach us some things today, but I'm going to use Him as our commentary. Can we do that? Would it be crazy to use Jesus' words to prove a point about Jesus' life? I think it would be probably most profitable to do that, don't you? And so let's look at this. Luke chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, flip there with me. If you're new to this, Matthew, Mark, Luke. When you get to Luke, go from 1 all the way to 6. We're going to start there. Matthew, Mark, Luke. You get to John, you've gone too far, take a left and go back. Luke chapter 6. Jesus is going to teach us some things about heart. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Jesus' life in light of what He said. How many of you know He was always consistent with what He said? How many of you know this? He's still always consistent with what His Word says. Anything outside of His Word is not from Him. Anything that contradicts His Word is not from Him. We all agree on that, right? Surely. He's the same Spirit that spoke in Jesus' day through His mouth. Is the same Spirit who lives inside of us. Is the same Spirit who inspired the apostles and the prophets to pen what we now have as our canonized Scripture. So we know this. We know that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit in everything that He did. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And so let's look at this. Luke chapter 6, as Jesus teaches us. He says this, and He's teaching us about trees and fruit. I don't want to get into a discourse on good trees, bad trees, good fruit, bad fruit. That's not my intention here today. What I want to do is I want to focus on the latter verse here in verse 45 and what Jesus teaches us before we go and look at Jesus' statement. He says, no good tree bears bad fruit. This is verse 43. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes, right? Because figs don't grow on thorn bushes. They pick figs from fig trees. Or grapes, he says, from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Jesus is going to switch gears here. Understand, He's talking about matters of the heart. Because you know what? It doesn't matter what you pull yourself into thinking you really are. What is on the inside is who you really are. He goes on, He says, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Watch what Jesus says here. Pay attention to it. Husbands and wives, this is going to throw your relationship into chaos because you're no longer going to be able to go back and say, I didn't mean that. Because you did mean it. You were trying to hurt with your words because inside you were in turmoil for whatever reason. Be honest about Watch what Jesus says. He says this. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. What is he saying? He's saying, good tree bears good fruit, bad tree bears bad fruit, bad tree bears bad fruit because of a bad heart, good tree bears good fruit because of a good heart. And you'll know by what comes out of their mouths what their heart truly is. People say this all the time. I'm not really concerned about it. God knows my heart. Yes, He does. And unfortunately, if a man were to examine you and to see the things coming out of your mouth, he would know your heart too. According to what Jesus just said. So He says, from the overflow of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. Why are we there? We're going to talk about Jesus' heart today. Jesus said many profound things while He was on this earth and taught many great lessons. In fact, the Gospel of John records that the world could not hold the volumes of books that they could write on everything that the Lord had taught them while He was here on this earth. But we're going to focus on seven things that Jesus said when He was at the most strenuous, the most trying point of His human life. Everybody wants to humanize everybody these days. We're going to humanize Jesus because He was 100% man and 100% God. We're going to see His true feelings about some things today. And He made seven statements while He was on the cross in agony. We're going to talk about each of those statements, so get ready to flip through your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, they're probably going to throw these up on the screen behind me, so it's real easy for you to follow. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to look to Luke chapter 23. Verse 34. Jesus said, the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So what He's saying is when the mouth speaks, that's what's on the inside. We're going to examine Jesus' heart. Then as we examine Jesus' heart, we're going to personalize that toward you today. Let's look at His heart. The first statement that we see that He makes from the cross that we're going to talk about. Luke chapter 23. Verse 34. Yeah, I joke around about looking at a lot of Scripture. I really do hope you don't mind. This is truth. The truth sets you free. Truth is what sanctifies you. As Jesus prayed for His disciples, He said, Lord, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. We need to know what this is saying to our lives, and that's what we're going to do today. Luke 23, verse 34. Y'all there? All right, He says this. Jesus said, this is from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now understand this. He said this in light of these men, these criminals who were there, these men who were hanging Him on the cross, these men who were about to divide His clothes and cast lots. They did it because Scripture prophesied that they were going to do it. And Jesus' heart, while He was there on the cross, was a heart of forgiveness. Please know that's the first thing we're going to look at today. Jesus revealed for us at the cross His forgiving heart. Let's stop and think about that for a second. The men who had already beaten Him, the men who had already ripped His beard from His face, the men who had already mocked Him and slapped Him and spat upon Him, these men are here now and they're gambling for His clothes, and Jesus says this, forgive them, for they know not what. Now, I can't think of anything worse that they could have done to Him than to prepare Him for crucifixion. And now they're fulfilling the duty of crucifying Him. And Jesus' stance is still a heart of forgiveness. What did Jesus say? From the overflow of your heart, your mouth will speak. Jesus didn't say, oh, curse these men who do these awful things to me. He gives us a greater example of God's forgiveness and His true heart. It came out of His mouth. What was inside? What was inside? Let me tell you something. For each and every one of you here, no matter what you've done, none of you have nailed Jesus to the cross personally and gambled for His clothes. And He offers forgiveness to these men just as He'll offer forgiveness to you today. He says, forgive them for their ignorance. They know not what they do. Jesus reveals by His words His forgiving heart. Number two, we see in Luke chapter 23, go about 10 more verses to 43, 11 verses, 9 verses, however many that is. I'm not good at math. 43. As we see another statement from the cross, the statement that He made first reveals His forgiving heart. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we see in 43, Jesus answered him as the thief. We talked about this last week. Jesus there between two thieves, and one of the thieves admits that he is a thief, that he's getting what he deserves. He acknowledges Jesus and says, "Will you remember me?" Jesus says, "Yes, surely I will remember you in paradise today." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." What does this reveal? It's a statement, and we say it from the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. What does this statement reveal about Jesus? His statement about forgiveness revealed his forgiving heart. His statement to this thief reveals his gracious heart. How many of you understand there's a difference between grace and forgiveness? There's a difference between grace and forgiveness. Here's the thing. He graces him with eternal life. Did you know that if God sought to, he could have forgiven you and still not given you eternal life? Eternal life's a gift. He could have done anything that he wanted to do. He could have said, "You know what? I'm going to pardon your sin, and you're just going to die, and you're going to return back to the dirt where you came from. And that's going to be the end of the story. There's not going to be any resurrection. There's not going to be a new life. There's not going to be eternal life." He could have chosen to do it any way that he wanted to do. But Jesus here is revealing his heart of grace. How many of you understand that you have received far much more than you could ever earn in Christ? From salvation to daily walking with him, to the disciplines that he's teaching you, to the communication from his Holy Spirit, to inevitably eternal life, you have graciously received gifts abundantly and abundantly more than you can even imagine each day of your Christian life. I assure you, he is a Savior who has a heart of graciousness. And he revealed it by what he said. "Hey, yeah, you don't deserve, Mr. Thief, you don't deserve paradise and eternal life, but I'm going to give that to you in spite of you." Can I tell you here today, many of you make this excuse. "There's no way God could ever do anything for me. I've done so much wrong." You don't understand. It is His very nature to love you and to show you grace in spite of you. I am thankful here today, as the Scripture says, that where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. That means this: as evil as I ever have been, grace is still more powerful in the hands of God. Jesus reveals his heart of graciousness by that statement in Luke 23:43. Now jump with me if you would. We've seen his forgiving heart, his gracious heart. I'm going to move quick because we've got more to this than just looking at this, I assure you. We're going to see in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Flip over. 19, we've seen his forgiving heart, his gracious heart. Let's look at his heart in John 19 and see what he reveals by the statement that he made on the cross about who he really is on the inside. John 19, verse 26. We see his compassionate heart. Watch this. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples who he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here's your son." And to the disciple, "Here's your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You say, "Well, do you really think that's an important statement from the cross?" Yes, it's an important statement because Jesus said it. And in doing so, he revealed his heart of compassion. He revealed, "Look, I understand," to his mother. "I understand. You're about to go through a difficult time." How many of you are thankful that Jesus is compassionate when we go through difficult times? "I understand, Mary, that you are about to go through a difficult time, and I'm not going to be here as I once was to comfort you and to lead you and to guide you. So I'm giving you to John." And in the same sense, you know what he does? He says to John, "John, I'm also compassionate to the fact that there's about to be a void in your life. And I'm giving Mary to you." Let me tell you something before you get all Catholic on me. Let me tell you, Mary was just a vessel, was just a human being. Jesus did not have to show her because he showed John the exact amount of compassion, didn't he? Many would say he had to show her greater compassion because of who she was. He had to show her greater compassion because the Word of God says, "Honor your mother and father." And he was compassionate toward his mother even in his last moment. Not only was he compassionate and honoring toward her, he did the same to those who were closest to him. Jesus revealed in that statement of the seven things that he said from the cross, he revealed in that statement that I have a compassionate heart towards others. Aren't you glad He has a compassionate heart toward us? Man, I'm thankful. And for whatever reason, one day, He showed His love to me. Because I am deserving of zero love from God, but yet He has lavished His love upon me over and over and over and over again. Because of the compassionate heart that drives everything that He does. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus revealed that type of compassionate heart by the statement, thinking about others before Himself. Think about it. The blood was flowing from His body. The water was flowing from His body. He was moments away from death, and He was worried about everyone else showing love to them. You know, I love to see it because we sometimes get to see that in real life, don't we? A person who truly knows Jesus on their deathbed, and their greatest concern is not themselves, but their greatest concern are those who they leave behind. That's the compassionate heart of Christ. We see next, as we continue, Matthew, go back, turn left, all the way back to the front of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 27. We've seen His forgiving heart revealed by the words that He spoke to the soldiers. We see His gracious heart revealed by His words to the thief. We see His compassionate heart revealed by the words to Mary and to His friend John. And we see this in Matthew chapter 27. Verse 46, He's going to say another statement. Everyone there? 27:46. This is after, again, they spit upon Him, they struck Him in the face, they hit Him in the head, they're crucifying Him on the cross. He says this, 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And many people miss the point of this. They get caught up in the fact that, oh no, we just spoke another language. He told you what it meant, so don't throw yourself off. At that moment, He said, "God, why have you forsaken me? Why has my Heavenly Father turned His back on me?" I'll tell you why. He just took upon Himself the sin of all mankind for the ages. The sin of the world. Jesus Christ revealed here that He had a willingness inside of Him to sacrifice everything. You know, Jesus didn't just give you a little bit of Himself on the cross. Are you listening? No, He didn't give you a little bit of Himself like you give Him a little bit of yourself. Jesus Christ completely sacrificed Himself, and listen, sacrificed His relationship to the Father to bear your sin. The Father turned His back on Him, and we know it was according to the Father's plan, but His back was turned upon Him because He bore the sin of all mankind. Grieved Jesus' heart. It wasn't soldiers that led to His last breath. It wasn't asphyxiation, as many scholars and medical experts say. He just suffocated. I believe this. The weight of the sin of the world killed Jesus Christ. The fact that God the Father had turned His back on His only begotten Son. You think about that for a second. That's a greater weight than you can even imagine. He realized in that moment that His sacrificial heart had cost Him everything. So see the heart of Jesus as He says those things. "Father, why have you turned your back on me? Why have you forsaken me?" He had a sacrificial heart that did whatever it had to do to rescue you and me. You've seen His forgiving heart, His gracious heart, His compassionate heart, all through the statements, His sacrificial heart, all through the statements that He made. All consistent with Jesus saying that from the overflow of your heart, your mouth's going to speak. Whatever it says is what's going to reveal who you are. We've seen to this point, haven't we? Jesus is forgiving, He's gracious, He's compassionate, He's sacrificial. Don't forget this next aspect that we're going to look at, John chapter 19, as we see another human statement from Jesus on the cross. John chapter 19, verse 28. If we look at statement number 5, later, knowing that all was now complete, later, knowing that all was now complete. That tells you this, understand, You are dealing with the sovereign God in flesh. He knew everything had been completed. He knew every prophecy, everything that had to happen up in this point, from the smallest detail of those men gambling for his clothes to the vinegar being offered up to him for drink. And he said, knowing that these things had now been completed. Watch what he said. 19:28. We're going to see something about Jesus that we forget a lot. I'm thirsty. Knowing that everything had been taken care of, he said, I'm thirsty. We know this, it was to fulfill later prophecy of the vinegar that we just spoke about, that the prophet spoke about. But it reveals something to us about Jesus that we often forget. He was 100% man. He was human. You know, because a lot of times we make this excuse. The only reason that Jesus could do what he did was because he was above us. Let me tell you something. He lowered himself to humanity by his own choosing, by the preordained plan of God the Father. He said, I'm coming to this earth and I'm going to put on skin and I'm going to become a forgiving, gracious, compassionate sacrifice for all humanity. And I'm not going to do it as someone who can't relate to them at all. I'm going to do it as someone who gets thirsty and who gets tired and who needs a break. Let me tell you what, he would take vacations for 40 days and 40 nights. It revealed his humanity. Don't forget, in everything that you go through, Jesus understands it. Every temptation you face, every betrayal you face, every insecurity you face, every hurt you face, every temptation, everything that you can face in this earth, Jesus lowered himself to humanity so that he could relate to you. Isn't it sad that the church has forgotten to relate to people when Jesus became a person to relate to the church? So here's the thing, please understand this. He reveals by saying just a simple statement. Why is it important? You know, you could have really just left this out, right? But you can't because it's so important. When everything was complete, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. I imagine so. How many of you have read the full account of what Jesus went through before dying on a cross? He hadn't slept in days, been betrayed by all his friends, been beaten, been tortured, been wrongly accused. Of course he was thirsty. He was probably hungry. But in this one statement, he reveals to you his human heart. And I'm thankful that he revealed to me that he is human. That he does understand right where I am, right where I've been. Every temptation I face, but yet he has remained sinless. His power lives in us that we might do as he has given us the example to do. His human heart. We see number 5 reveals his human heart. Number 6, John chapter 19. As we continue to read where we left off, 28 goes into 29. Jar of vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of hyssop, lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, why did he have to do this? Because this was the last prophecy while he was there. When he received the drink, he says a statement. It is finished. It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Reveals to us what about Jesus Christ? Reveals to us his faithful heart. He was faithful until the end. That persevering faithfulness to get the job done, to do what he was called to do, to obediently follow after what the Father had put him here to do. He said, it is finished. It's complete. The work that I came here to do has been done. The atonement for man is complete. How many of you are thankful that he completed his atonement for sin on the cross and said, it's finished? And in saying that, what he was revealing was his faithfulness to go above and beyond what a normal person would do for those who he loved and who he is called according to his purpose. Here's the thing. Jesus Christ, in that statement, reveals to us his faithfulness. His faithfulness to God and his faithfulness to those who he died to save. I'm glad he's faithful to save. So we have one more statement left. We've seen statements that reveal his forgiving heart, his gracious heart, his compassionate heart, his sacrificial heart. his human heart, his faithful heart. Let's look at his submissive heart. Luke records one more. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 23. As he gives us one more example of what we ought to look like in our lives. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. It says, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. I'm thankful that Luke recorded it this way. This was in quotations. The other was just an account. So understand, they don't contradict each other. Luke, being the doctor that he was, and if you know doctors, they're all about detail. Because they're smart. That's why I'm not a doctor. But he quotes him and he says, here's what he said. He said, Lord, I'm again committing myself to you. Even in the moments of my death, I am going to be submissive. And he reveals his submissive heart. Here I am. All of me, I give to you. All of me, Father, I give to you. And then it was over. So we look at this and we have to conclude some things, and we have to look at some same things about these statements, because these statements, so I know I probably Bible overloaded you with only 7 or 8 verses today. I hope not. I hope it causes you to hunger. It's kind of like when you eat that first pepperoni off the top of that piece of pizza. Hopefully it causes you to eat that piece of pizza. To find out what he's truly saying. The conclusion, as we look at this, we're not going to conclude that these are just a bunch of coincidental statements. But according to the admission of Jesus Christ himself, these statements reveal his heart. And since he wrote these things to us, did he not? I dare to say that he's revealing his heart toward you, toward me. That Jesus Christ today, I'm here to tell you, has a heart of forgiveness toward each and every one of you. Today, if you hear his voice and you hear his offer of forgiveness that he paid for at the cross, listen, do not harden your heart toward him. But when you hear his offer of forgiveness, understand this. He's offering you forgiveness because that is his very heart. He came to this earth to die to offer you forgiveness. So understand, the statement about him being willing to forgive is no coincidence. It's so that each and every one of you will know that he is a forgiving Savior. And I don't know about you, but if you're like me, you need a lot of it. Can we just be honest and real today? Yes, I said it. Brother Pastor needs a lot of it. Because I'm dirt apart from Jesus Christ. And I'm filth apart from Jesus Christ, and I'm in need of His cleansing and His forgiveness. And I'm thankful that at the cross He made that available to me. And I'm thankful that He revealed that to me when I was just a young teenager, my need for His forgiveness. Not only did He reveal to me my need for His forgiveness, He revealed to me, just as He revealed to all of us by a statement on the cross, that He desires in His heart to forgive me. Some of you have made excuses for years. You've let the enemy trick you into thinking that there's just not enough forgiveness for you. You've just done too much wrong. Let me tell you what, Jesus Christ went to the cross with a heart of forgiveness, and He's revealing that to you today, that He desires to forgive you of that thing you hope nobody else ever finds out about. Let me tell you, He knows about it. And He still comes at you with a heart of forgiveness. And He still comes at you with His arms open wide, desiring to cleanse you of that sin and to set you on the path that God created you to walk down. His heart of forgiveness toward you. Think about it this morning. His heart toward you is definitely forgiveness. His heart toward you is grace. Did you know that God wants to lavish His blessings upon each and every one of you who will come to Him today and cry out to Him as your Lord and Savior? His desire is to lavish you with blessings as one of His children who already know Him as Savior and Lord. Now let me define for you what blessing is. You American people who have a messed up mindset about what blessing is. That's not money. That's not fame. That's not a fancy car. Some of you will be dirt poor, and you will be the most blessed people in all the world when you get this principle of walking in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've done work all over the world and have seen lots of people who have way less than us spoiled brat Americans, and they have more peace and joy because of the grace of God that has been bestowed on them and the blessing of God that they constantly walk in each day. So understand this. He wants to grace you each day of your life. He has a heart of grace toward you. Not only did He die to forgive you, He died that He might bless you. Did you know the Word of God says the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ? You know what that means? That means everything that the Bible promises to the people of God in Christ, if you are in Christ here today, you are going to receive all of those promises. Watch this. And you deserve none of them. That's grace. And I'm thankful today that Jesus revealed for us in His statement on the cross that He is a gracious Savior. His heart towards you this morning is grace. Thirdly, as we've seen, His heart towards you this morning is compassion. We're personalizing this because some of you thought He was talking to other people. He was revealing this to you, or He wouldn't have recorded it in His Word. His desire today is that you see His compassion toward you, that He loves you in spite of you. Isn't that crazy? I know that's messed up because we as humans, we love performance-based. I'll love you as long as I can benefit from it. I'll love you as long as you do right, but if you do wrong, then that love's going to cease until you make that right wrong. Then I'll love you again, right? We have performance-based love. Let me tell you, that is not God's love. God loves you in spite of you. So don't think for a second that you're ever going to get your life into some position where God's going to love you. Watch this. Newsflash. He has already made up His sovereign mind, if there is such a thing, but He's also, that you can understand it, let me say it like that. He has already made up His sovereign mind to love you in spite of you, and there is nothing you or anyone else in this room can do to change it. He loved you before you were ever born. He loved you before you were ever a cell. Say it like country people. He loved you before you were ever a glimmer in your mom and daddy's eye. He loved you before the foundations of this earth, and He's loved you in spite of you this whole time. Watch this. Listen to me. And He will continue to love you in spite of you until you walk with Him for all eternity. Now, before you try to wrap your brain around that here this morning, you're not going to be able to. Just know that what I'm telling you is true. He loves with a love you can never understand in this world. He reveals that He has that heart of love, passion toward each and every one. And that heart of sacrifice belongs to you as well. Did you know that Jesus offered all that we saw? Let me blow you away. For Kirk Hall. If you don't know me, that's me. I'm Kirk Hall. That's not much, I promise you. But Jesus Christ thought it enough that He sacrificed His very self for this wretched, pitiful guy. So I want to assure you of something today. His desire and His plan was to come to this earth to be a sacrifice to rescue you from your sin. So don't today answer that, no, no, it can't be. It is, period. It is already complete. He said, it is finished. I have made the sacrifice that needs to be made for sin. Let me tell you this, if you try to find forgiveness any other way, you'll never find it. You try to find atonement for sin any other way, you'll never find it. You try to work it out on your own. You try to do enough right. You try to do enough good. You're always going to fall short. It all comes down to Jesus Christ atone for your sin, period. In Him, you have complete atonement and forgiveness. His heart toward you is a heart of sacrifice. Don't forget, number five, His heart toward you is real. It's real. He was real toward you. He is real toward you. How many of you understand this? He meets you right where you are. For those of you in just a moment who are about to say this, please don't. Well, when I get my life to a certain point, well, then maybe I'll give my life to Christ. You've been saying that for months. My prayer is this. I hope you make it another day. Oh, when I get to the position where I really understand everything. You're never going to understand everything. That's why He makes it so simple. Here's the thing. You're not going to get to that point. That's why He comes to you as a human being and He met you right where you were. Right where you are. You're still trying to work all this out. It's a faith thing, man. He's going to give you the faith to believe it. When He does, just walk away believing it. It's more real than me standing here before you today, and it's more real than you sitting out there watching me, I guarantee you. His heart toward you is real. Every hurt that you go through, He feels it. He felt it on the cross. Every trial you face, He's given you victory over it. He defeated it at the cross. Every temptation that you go through that you have to say no to, He understands. He said no to them all. He was tempted in all things, yet did not sin according to the Word of God. He knows where you are. Aren't you glad He meets you where you are? In the middle of your addiction. In the middle of your struggle. In the middle of your sin. In the middle of your insecurity. In the middle of all your thought faults and issues. Jesus meets you right there, and He doesn't meet you right there to excuse those things. He meets you right there to cleanse you of all those things, to forgive you of those things, and to give you eternal life. Why? Because of His heart of faithfulness toward God. Didn't He just reveal that to him? That He's faithful to the promises of God. He's faithful to the plan of God. And the plan of God was to rescue those of you who would believe from your sin. Jesus is faithful in doing that. Then we see these statements also lastly. They show us that His heart toward you is due to His obedience to our Heavenly Father. I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus was obedient. Did you know Jesus even said this? He said, "Could I not call legions of angels to pull me down off this cross to rescue me?" Did you know Jesus had at His disposal all authority and all power? Did you know that? So please don't think for a second that Jesus dying on the cross was a have-to thing. Jesus dying on the cross, according to the Word, was an obedient thing. And in His humanity, He gained victory over His desire of His humanity so that He could be obedient. He said Himself, "I would that this cup pass from me." Jesus was praying that right before He was falsely arrested, right before He was taken into custody and beaten and sentenced to death. He prayed to the Father, and sweat and blood flowed from His body. Here's the thing. Understand this. Don't get into a theological debate with people who act like they know more than you about this statement. We know that God had a sovereign plan, and we know that there was no way that Jesus was going to veer off that course, because as we said, He was 100% God and 100% man. But in these statements, He shows you the agony that He did face in being obedient. "I would that this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, your will be done." You know what Jesus taught us in that? The most important thing is obedience toward God. Most important thing is fulfilling the duty that He's entrusted you with. But we ought to see the heart of Jesus Christ as a challenge to each of us today, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? If you're a believer here today, the heart of Jesus Christ ought to challenge you to be more forgiving, to be more gracious, to be more compassionate, to be more sacrificial, to admit your humanity, and in that, stay faithful to God. And know that He's faithful to His promise. And in that, understand when we get to the last statement that you have to, as a child of God, be submissive in your relationship to the Father. But maybe you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You're not a believer. You've made every excuse in the book why God couldn't forgive you. Let me say this, He can. You made every excuse as to why God would not show you His grace. He will. In fact, He has. You just hadn't discovered it yet. The fact that you just took your last breath is His grace, because He didn't have to give it to you. And you sure don't deserve it. Oh, there's no way that God could love me. How many of us have heard that lie from the enemy? There's just no way He could love me of all the things I've done. Can I help you? He loved you before you ever did them, knowing full well that you were going to do them, knowing if you're going to do those things again, still loves you just the same. And the sacrifice that He made was for you. Can we get personal for a second? That sacrifice was for you. If you hear His voice today, and He calls you out of darkness and into the light of His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. Understand, He just personalized something for you. That sacrifice that you saw in that sacrificial heart that we just saw revealed from the cross, it was for you. So I don't know where you are today. But I'll leave you with this. Have you received Jesus' forgiveness, His grace, His compassion, and His sacrifice personally? If you haven't, let me extend this invitation to you. If He shows you today that He desires to forgive you, to graciously give you salvation that you don't deserve in a life that you could never earn on your own, an eternal life in heaven based on His sacrifice that He made at the cross, based on the love of God that sent Him to the cross. If you say, yes, Kirk, I need Jesus to save me, and He's showing me that in my heart, I promise you today He'll save you right where you are this very moment. Maybe you're that believer who's here today. You say, I know my heart should look more like Jesus, but it really doesn't. Because when my heart overflows, it doesn't quite look like that. I pray that you would ask the Holy Spirit to move you in a way in this process as a believer that each day you would look more and more like Jesus Christ. That when the things that come out of your mouth are seen, they reveal Jesus Christ in you and no longer you. Would you stand your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As our musicians and as our prayer partners come forward, I would challenge each and every one of you today to search your heart. Some of you thought today that you came here to support a loved one or a family member who's being baptized. And let me say this, I am thankful that you did. But I also pray that it's oh so much more than that. I pray today that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that before you leave here today, you'll know Him personally through what Jesus Christ has revealed in His Word today and how He feels about you. Maybe you came today and you know you're a believer. But your heart's not where it's supposed to be. You know what the Bible says about that? It says this, that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray that you would take advantage of this time on this altar and pour your heart out to God in repentance. Confession to Him today. If you're here today and you say, Kirk, I know that when you speak of those who need to surrender their life to Jesus Christ, I know God's telling me right now that I need to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to surrender to Him as my Lord and my Savior, as the only sacrifice for my sin, as the only one who ever loved me in spite of me, and loved me to the point that He was willing to give His all for me. Who would be honest today by raising your hand and say, I know that I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior, and I'm willing to repent of my life and sin and to turn to Him because He's telling me in my heart right now that He's offering me personally His grace and His forgiveness. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You say, that's me. I know Jesus is calling me to be saved today, and I want to surrender my life to Him. Would you raise your hand right now so I can pray with you and pray for you? You say, I need Jesus to save me from my sin today. Raise it up high where I can see you. I know that Jesus died personally for me. Thank you, ma'am. Keep that up for me. I know Jesus died personally for me. I want to receive His grace and mercy today. Thank you, ma'am. You keep that up. Anyone else who says, I need Jesus to save me today, I'm willing to repent of my sin and to turn to Him as my Lord and Savior. Anyone who says that's me, Kirk, he's speaking to my heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Ma'am, I want you to look at me right now, eye to eye, just you. You believe God's telling you in your heart today to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord. You believe that He died on a cross for you, cleansed you with His own blood from all your sin. You believe that He rose on the third day so that you can receive new life today. You believe God's telling you that in your heart right now. The Bible says this. The Bible says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and we shall be saved. Ma'am, you believe Jesus wants to save you today? The Bible says we confess that with our mouth and believe it in our heart. We confess those things through prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me. This prayer will not save you. Prayers don't save people. Only Jesus saves people. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And listen, don't leave here and say, I prayed a prayer, because what I'm going to get you to do in just a second, when you're done, I want you to slip out of that aisle right there. There's going to be a lady who's going to meet with you, and she's going to take the Bible, and she's going to show you what just happened in your life. Are you willing to humble yourself before all these people and say, I need Jesus to save me? Amen. Amen. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know you died for me. And right now, your Spirit is showing my need for you. I surrender all of my sin, all of my life, to you, to your kingdom. Lord, I ask you would wash me and cleanse me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank you for the new life you've given me. Fill me with your Spirit. Teach me to live this new life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Young lady, if you meant business with the Lord, I'm going to ask you to be brave. There's going to be a lady right here. She's going to meet you halfway down that aisle. Anyone else who says, Kirk, that should have been me. Listen, I won't draw things out. I promise you, I never do. But I really do believe in a crowd this size, as the heart of Jesus Christ was revealed for us personally, I believe someone else here needs Jesus Christ to save them this morning. If that's you, slip up your hand so that I can pray with you and pray for you. You say, it's me, Kirk, and I've been fighting this, and I don't want to fight it any longer. Let me say this. God doesn't want you to fight it any longer either. Would you stop today kicking against Him? Would you just experience what it's like to walk in peace and joy and forgiveness? You say, that's me, Pastor. I need Jesus to save me today. Would you raise your hand so I can pray with you and pray for you? Raise it high where I can see you. Anyone like that? As for you believers who are here today, the altars are open. God has revealed something to you through His Spirit today. Be obedient, following His leadership and His direction on your life. If you need prayer, these folks are down front to pray with you, but allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life today.
Are you hurting, broken within?